The Judging Process, Commentary for the December 24th, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28. Throughout my educational journey, different teachers have often uttered the same statement at the beginning of the term. You are starting this term with an A. It's up to you if you keep it. This was usually said with the intent of inspiring the students to strive to live up to the expectations the teacher had for them. Of course, if the teacher was grading on a curve, it would be impossible for everyone to end with an A unless everyone gave the same answers for every assignment. The slightest variation would cause a distribution of grades across a curve for the hapless students. In a sense, though, this is how God looks at us. The Book of Life is the tome containing the names of all those who are to be saved. The Bible tells us that book was written from the foundation of the world. The Bible makes no mention of anyone being added to that book. In a sense, we are all predestined to be saved, already written in the Book of Life. But the Bible does mention repeatedly that individuals can be blotted out of the book. Then, when the final destiny is decided, those whose names are no longer there will face a fiery end. This is problematic for Seventh-day Adventist dogma. In the early 19th century, William Miller, a lay evangelist, began preaching that the Lord's second coming was about to take place. He set a date for this return. But when it did not happen, he recalculated and set a new date for the fall of 1844. He did this despite Christ's statements regarding the date his return would take place. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Matthew 24:36. The people who followed Mr. Miller were known as Adventists, for preaching Jesus' soon advent. Many of these were later to become the founders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, incorporated almost two decades later. However, when William Miller's second promised parousia failed to materialize, the event became known as the Great Disappointment. Some had abandoned their farms with crops in the field, or sold all they had, since Jesus' return was promised, making those things unnecessary. They became the laughingstock of family, friends, and neighbors who had not been caught up in Millerism. Some abandoned the Advent movement altogether. Others continued to meet and pray, hoping for light to explain why Jesus did not return. The very next day after the disappointment, lay preacher and healer Hiram Edson told a group of Adventists that he had a vision while walking to their meeting, and in that vision, Jesus was not to return to take us home, but was instead entering the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary to begin the work to become known as the investigative judgment, a doctrine unique to SDAs. Essentially, it states that Jesus is involved in this investigative judgment, and once it is completed, he will leave the sanctuary and return for the faithful. Unfortunately, this contradicts the ongoing editing with a blotter in the Book of Life. It would require believing that no one was blotted from the book until 1844, an idea not supported by any biblical text. In effect, what the Bible says about the Book of Life and what Hiram Edson said about the heavenly sanctuary are in conflict, and we are left with the choice of accepting what Edson claimed to see in the cornfield on the way to a meeting, or what the Bible says about the judgment process. It is true that there is an investigative judgment, else why would Jesus have his rewards with him to give to the faithful when he returns? But to tie its inception to the 1844 date is speculative at best and dubious at worst. There is no need for such an understanding to be a believer in the future advent of Jesus. It only has relevance for saving face before the jeering crowds after Jesus failed to return. There is much about Seventh-day Adventism that is powerful and compelling without this effort to justify what was clearly an error. However, rather than admit the error, the denomination doubled down on being right in their date setting. I doubt that most SDAs could even give a cogent explanation of the investigative judgment without creating an intricate apologetic to hang it on, an effort that takes a great deal of study and preparation, not typically found in the impromptu atmosphere of interpersonal witnessing. It begs the question whether Jesus ever intended the salvation he so gracefully provided should be so difficult to understand. Yet here we are, proud builders of a complex statement of 28 acceptable beliefs that we use to skewer one another when we find divergence in our midst. Desmond Ford, an SDA pastor who dared to question the idea of an 1844 investigative judgment, was defrocked after facing the Diet of Glacier View in the 1980s. Defrocking a pastor over this is tantamount to saying that the investigative judgment doctrine is essential for salvation. It is not. Peter at Pentecost gave the simple formula for salvation: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. A simple appeal, like the simplicity of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. There was no requirement to believe that an investigative judgment would begin in 1844. And remarkably, even though there were disputes over doctrine in the early church, even with Paul and Peter locking horns over how they were to relate to the non-Jews among them, no one defrocked either of them for these disputes. They approached it as though it was iron sharpening iron. Our denomination has trouble with this. They need to repent for their treatment of Ford. They need to admit their error in making salvation dependent on the investigative judgment doctrine. In the list of sins that exclude the lost from heaven, not believing in the investigative judgment is nowhere to be found. And persecution of such individuals is not listed as a star in anyone's crown. It is time we stopped, repented, and sought reconciliation for abuses of the past. We are in the fourth decade since Glacier View. How much longer will our pride keep us from seeking forgiveness from those we have wronged? Once we can lay that hoary controversy to rest, perhaps we can focus on the real blessings we can offer the world with the Sabbath, the health message, and the loving grace of God. There is such a joy in relationship with Jesus, there is no need to weigh it down with esoteric, non-salvific ideas that instead of lifting our burdens, add to them. God is so much more than we allow him to be. He offers us eternity, and we offer him a sanctuary-shaped box to live in, without realizing our fulfillment of the God-in-a-box paradigm. It is time we set God free of the need to save face for us over our error in the date setting of the great disappointment of 1844. We have promoted this self-serving effort to hide our shame for almost two centuries now. William Miller was never a Seventh-day Adventist. His judgment will not be helped one iota by our denominational defense of his date setting. We tend to create God in our own image rather than the other way around. We create intricate systems of belief, and if we cannot precisely prove them, We claim visions or dreams verified what could not be verified otherwise. Very many times, religious sects arose not because of need, but because of a failure to be humble, admit our errors, and reconciling ourselves to our weak human characters. We are not much different from the holy zealots and crusaders of previous centuries, marching forward as a conquering army and failing to live the love Jesus taught. Gamaliel told the Sanhedrin, when they wanted to punish the apostles, that if they do, and the apostles were acting in God's name, they would be fighting against God himself. But if they let them be, and the apostles were wrong, they will not have God's support, and would die out on their own. It is evident why Gamaliel was considered a great teacher, one Paul cited as his instructor. His faith in God, and willingness to let God rule in the affairs of humanity, are an inspiration to us today. It is time we got over ourselves and became the images of God's love he created us to be. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as the scripture footnotes supporting the ideas in the commentary, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.